I Won Practice
Here
Podcast.
Here we go.
Episode 2. We're back. Jordan's back from
the BFL All-American.
And how'd that go for you?
It was all right.
All right. You want to talk about it?
Yeah. It's a good time. So it was in East Tennessee, Cherokee Lake. Coming from here, had to go through two big cities of traffic. So that was absolutely terrible.
Nightmare. I'm sure you hit those right in the middle of the day. Yep.
What cities?
Nashville and Knoxville.
I didn't think about Knoxville.
I was thinking like Chattanooga, but I was like, why would you go that far south?
I'm going to be honest with you though. Knoxville was very calmed down traffic wise compared to Nashville.
I'll play the good and bad side of this. I've only been through Knoxville maybe two or three times in my life.
Yeah.
And traffic has never been too bad.
No. I saw Jacob Wheeler.
Really?
On my way back.
Oh, yeah?
He was headed to, I assume, the Chowan River.
We talked about this earlier. We talked about this Monday. I don't know that anybody knows how it's said, because I was calling it the Chowan River.
That's what I thought it was.
Chowan.
I don't know.
Chowan.
I have Edenton. Zero clue.
Yeah.
Edenton?
I don't know.
I still don't know how to say it.
They've got flounder there, though.
Huh.
Brian Thrift posted, I don't know to go after fat ones or flat ones. And he had a picture of a fat bass and a flat flounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Flounder, they're flat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're flat.
Like, are they really?
Yeah.
Like actually like flat.
Brown on they're top like and
that thin.
White on the bottom, I think.
Yeah, they just like their eyes are both on top.
They're in Kentucky Lake.
You got to watch out. If you go swimming in there, they'll take your toes off. You don't even see
them. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they'll just be sitting there on the bottom and like they blend in so well with the bottom. You can step on them and they'll just.
They look like rocks and then you step on it and it's like slimy. And
you guys are not joking.
No.
I didn't know that.
No, we're joking, Don. That's a.
Yeah. It's a saltwater fish.
Saltwater.
No, what?
Come on, Don.
I didn't know. I don't know these things.
You're gullible.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to fishing. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought you were a Bassmaster now.
No, not even close.
I'm pretty sure that's what you told me the other day.
No, I would not have said that about myself. I have started fishing ever since the last episode that we had 2 weeks ago. I think I've been out cumulatively probably 13 or 14 hours in the last week fishing, and I have caught a total of one fish.
That's good.
Welcome to the party.
Is that good? That doesn't seem very good. And it might have been the world's smallest bass in a pond, by the way. That wasn't just...
Was it a largemouth or a smallmouth?
It was a fish.
Okay.
I was lucky enough to know that it was a bass, and I'm still not 100% sure.
Mm. Was it a catfish?
No, because it didn't have the whiskers.
Good job.
Okay.
I knew that part, but that's like the only thing that I know. And I know it wasn't a bluegill because bluegill are like more circular, right?
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Is that right? Anyways, let's get back to Jordan.
Okay. So
talking about,
we get down to or get over to East Tennessee and we get to, it was 2 days of practice and then a half day. So about 2.5 days. And the first day was really nice weather. So we got to actually fish a little bit. So first of all, you get to this lake. I put the boat in the water and I'm running around just looking. I ran around like the whole lake the first day, just looking around. There's flooded bushes everywhere. So, I mean, it just looked beautiful to fish shallow for largemouth, and it just pulled you in. You'd go out and look for smallmouth, and then it would just pull you right back in to the bushes because they just look so good. But the problem was you just couldn't get many bites out of them. The lake, I mean, sorry for the language, but the lake was just, I mean, it was horrible. It was one of the, it was terrible. Like you're literally fishing for, and it was a great run event. It was a great time to be in the event, but the lake was terrible. There was just, you're fishing for 12 to 13 pounds a day. You know, you're not going to catch more than that. and you're not going to get more than 5 to 6 bites a day. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it was a little surprising because we, you know, you being there, we here kept up with it every single day, or at least I did. I don't know about these guys, but
yeah,
I'm sure everybody here did. When all of the weigh-ins happened after day one, and like the day one leader had like 13, almost
12 pounds.
Yeah, 12, 15.
It was 12 pounds, and he had a 4.5 pounder.
Yeah.
So you take that out, he's got 8-9 pounds.
He had almost 13 pounds for the lead.
Right.
Which is...
out of 50 people that, you know, respectively qualified through a regional...
through the whole nation.
To get there.
Just to catch 9 pounds.
I very much appreciate the tournament that MLF put on. It was, like I said, it was a great run tournament, but I don't think that it showed the true ability of 3/4 of the people fishing there, because the difference in a, when it's that tough of a lake is just one bite. Like, one bite a day can be the difference in you being in 40th or being in 5th.
Yeah.
I mean, because you take a guy with 5 keepers that weigh 1.5 pounds each, that's going to be what? 7.5 pounds.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to
7.5 pounds, which would have put you in about 30th place after the first day.
Mm-hmm.
You replace just one of those fish, just one, with a 3.5 pounder, and you're in the top 10.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It was like, everything was perfect, man. They gave us breakfast, lunch, ice, had a meal at the meeting. They ran it well. It went, the parking was good. Everything was great. Jefferson City did a good job too, but the lake just did not show the true ability of the fishermen there, in my opinion. Because really, I know some very good fishermen that were there that could not get bit.
Now, there was... was it day two? Somebody had, I don't remember the guy's name, but he had like 16 pounds almost.
14 pounds.
14 pounds.
Matt O'Connell.
Was it Matt O'Connell?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had 14 pounds for day two.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's a pretty good bag, but I don't know. It just seemed a little underwhelming. Like you were saying, it just felt like it wasn't like the most appreciative outing.
Yeah.
For an all-American event.
Right. Well, in my opinion, when you have a tournament like that, you want everybody, you know, most people are going to have some family in. They've traveled a long way to get there. I just feel like you would want everybody to have 20 pounds. Why not try to go to a lake where there's going to be huge, you know, big weights and big crowd, you know, like it just... The thing that I thought was funny was, is there was even guys from Tennessee that got on stage, and the guy, and you can watch it live. The guy even said, "You're from Tennessee. You should know this place." You know what he said? He said, "No, people from Tennessee don't fish this lake."
I was still surprised. Like, you know, I don't know that much about Cherokee, but I know a little bit. And I thought someone would have caught 15 pounds.
I did too.
Like, there's enough big largemouth in that place that, like, you would have thought someone would have caught a 5-pounder, 6-pounder.
Right.
And had 15 pounds. Yeah. But
I think part of the problem was the lake came up 8 feet in 2 weeks. I think that screwed a lot of things up. And then you add in that during the tournament, we had a, you know, flat, calm, hot, no wind. Just wasn't bluebird skies. It just wasn't good conditions to fish, but. Either way, I mean, out of 50 people, you'd think somebody would, catch about 15 pounds at least one day.
I don't think there was a single 20-pound bag through all 3 days for anybody.
There wasn't a 15-pound bag at all?
There wasn't even a 5-pound fish. There was only one 4-pound fish.
Because I know from somebody who has never been in a tournament, just like an outside perspective,
yeah,
it wasn't the most entertaining event.
No.
So, in this it is what we were talking about.
Sorry, go ahead. My bad.
No, you're fine.
It was entertaining seeing you, you know, weigh in and, you know, be on stage and stuff. But other than the fact of, like, you know, after the first 2 days, when it comes down to those top 10 guys, even then it was like, I mean, we're broadcasting the full fishing experience throughout the day. And these guys are ending up with, like, you know, 14-pound bags,
maximum.
Yeah, that was the biggest pack of the tournament.
That's like as high as you're going to get.
I thought that was, there was 114.
And I think there was only two 13s. And that was the guy that won.
Yeah.
And then the rest was 12 and under.
Yeah.
And there was very few 12s, 11s, and 10s. A lot of it was 7 to 9 pounds.
I think the guy who won his 3-day comp or his 3-day, what's not almost a combination, 3-day
cumulative.
Let's just cumulative weight was like 38 pounds.
Yeah. So I'm just going to get on here and get a little stat.
So you're telling me like if you caught 13 days or 13 pounds all 3 days, you would have won the whole event.
Yeah.
See, this goes into what I said in the last episode. That Kentucky Lake, like everyone just like throws it under the bus and like it's sucked for the last several years and everything. You're acting like, and you don't know any better, but you're acting like it's crazy that no one caught a 20-pound bag in a tournament. Like, cause you're spoiled really with having Kentucky Lake here. You see the tournaments that we fish and everything here. And
yeah,
like it takes 20 pounds to win every tournament, but there is so many lakes out there that it only takes 13 to 16 pounds to win, yeah, you know, on a 1-day tournament. So that's how special Kentucky Lake is. Cause you're just blown away that no one had a 20-pound bag.
Yeah. It took away from like the entertainment aspect where I guess looking at it from a more broad perspective, that's more of fishing where you have to be more determined. You have to understand the lake a little bit better than the other guy, but you know, there's a big aspect of luck that comes with it that a lot of guys, I think, maybe take for granted, and they boil it down to, well, you know, like it's just pure skill or knowing the spots before anybody else and getting there first. But I mean, a lot of it is like there's a gambling aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have to be lucky. Even if you know the spots, are you fishing it correctly? Are you even doing what the lake is wanting you to do? And you guys would know that more than me. That's just what it seems like to me.
Bass fishing tournaments is just gambling that's not frowned upon.
Yeah.
Like Major League Fishing, BASS, they're the same as like Harris Casinos.
Yeah. World Series of Poker.
Yeah. Like it really is. It's just gambling.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You're buying in for money, hoping you make more money at the end of the week.
I mean, it's the same thing as going and sitting and pulling a lever on a slot machine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do have a funny story from Cherokee, though.
Let's hear it.
After the second day of practice, I decided to change ramps midday. I put in at this ramp that was kind of not in the most populated area, I'd say. Very nice boat ramp, though. So I'm thinking, this seems safe. You know, okay. So I put the boat in and it gets dark there at about 9:15. Well, I get back to the ramp. We had to be off the water at 9:15, I think it was, and walk up to my truck. I was the only one at the boat ramp.
Right.
Fishing boat in the tournament. There was only 50 boats, so my truck won't start. So I go back to the boat, I get my phone, and it has no phone service.
At the ramp.
Yeah, at the ramp. So I'm kind of waiting around trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Well, about an hour or so goes by and it gets to be about 10:15, 10:30. And by the grace of God, a truck full of
people. There you go. Yep.
Show up to the ramp in a, they were going bow hunting.
Bow fishing.
Yeah.
Whatever. Same. I don't do that. Yeah. They saved the day. So not only did they, so I actually had two problems. My truck was backed into a parking spot and it was facing like up because it was kind of on a hill.
Sure.
So I was like back down a hill. So my truck would not pick up fuel. Also, my batteries were dead. So these guys had to hook my truck up with a chain, pull it onto level ground, jump the batteries, prime the fuel pump or something. I don't know what they did. I was just like, yeah, if you can fix it, go ahead and try it. Well, finally by 11:30, my truck's running. And here's the best part. We leave and this guy is so nice. He's like, hey, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to make sure you make it, make sure nothing's wrong.
So where were you going? Where you were going back to the hotel?
I was going back to the house.
Okay.
But I was stopping at a gas station. I was going to fill up, get a drink, whatever.
Sure.
We're on the way there. I kind of go blow through a stop sign. I'm like, yeah, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean,
did you kind of blow through a stop sign?
No, I mean, I like halfway stopped, but you know what I mean? I just rolled through it a little bit.
You did the Southern stop where pretty you much. Just roll a little.
Well, I did it. So he followed me. Well, before I can do anything, I look in my rearview mirror and he's pulled over. And I'm like, this guy just spent 2 hours helping me and now he's about to get a ticket. So at that point I had phone service and I had my father-in-law and I said, you need to come. I was close to the house. I was like, drive down here and try to get this cop to not give him a ticket, please. And then I ended up calling the guy and I was like, hey man, if they gave you a ticket, just let me know and I'll pay it. And he's like, no, they didn't give me one. They let him off.
Dude, that is so unfortunate.
Yeah. It's like all these, and none of that even happens if my batteries aren't dead.
Yeah.
But now you got a story about it.
And now I've got a story about it.
Do you want to give the guy a shout out if you got his name?
I do not remember his name off the top of my head. No, I don't. Okay. But if you're listening to this and you are from Cherokee Lake area and you were bow fishing on, what would that have been?
Uh-oh.
Wednesday night of last week. Thank you.
You're going to have about 7 people reach out to you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it was a long weekend and that was, so then I'm just going to tell you, I wasn't really sure what, like if my battery, like if I left my door open, right? The first time it happened. So that actually happened again the second night.
Dude.
Except this time I was prepared. I had jumper cables and I was actually at a ramp that had a population of people at it. So I had somebody just jump it for me that night.
I mean, is there something wrong with your truck?
Oh, probably.
Not even worried about it.
I'm actually in the process of trying to figure that out.
Gotcha. Okay.
One step at a time.
You want to talk about that?
No, not really.
So you said it was an eventful weekend. It was a good weekend.
It was great. Finishing 15th. I was happy with it. I mean,
yeah.
8 fish for 15th place. I mean, doesn't feel like I should have been in 15th, but that's just
how it goes.
How it goes.
So we can kind of put the label on it as far as BFL fishing goes, top 15 in the nation, as far as BFL rankings go, right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good way to end the season and jump into, I guess, well, this season has already technically started. Yeah,
it's
right?
kind of weird.
This would be from like last year.
Middle.
It's like
of
an
season.
Overlap.
Yeah.
So I don't, do you guys know where you're standing as far as this year goes? There's 2 more BFL.
No.
There's 2 more LBL.
I'm not really sure.
It'd be so hard to see what it was in the whole entire nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, just for this area.
For the division?
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Because what? There's 2 more. There's one in July. Yeah. There's one in August. So that, yeah, man, that's
I
awesome.
Just assume if you weigh a fish in and all 5, doesn't really matter. You'll go to the regional. So,
yeah.
Well, at least that's how it used to be. It's
a little bit tougher now.
Yeah.
People on the co-angler side for sure. If you weigh one every time.
Yeah.
I had a question that I saved. I actually did not ask you guys this off air, but I wanted to save it for this. So what happens if there's more co-angler signups than boaters?
Depends on if you're talking about a BFL or a Toyota series.
Yep.
So it matters.
It does.
Yeah. So in a BFL, regardless, you can only have, if you have 150 boats, you got to have 150 co-anglers for all 150 to fish, right? Essentially. And so like in the BFL, if you have 150 boats, but you only have 130 co-anglers, then there's going to be 20 boaters that have to do a boat on boat draw. So it's going to be 2 boaters fishing together out of 1 boat.
Gotcha.
Splitting the time at the front, basically. So
how does that work in the BFL then if there's 150 boaters, but there's 175 co-anglers?
and there's 25 co-anglers that don't get to fish.
Really? So there's just a cut line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes based on, there's a couple different registration or priorities based on when you sign up, date and time of when you sign up. Also, if you link with somebody. So let's say you wanted to fish with as a co-angler, you and I could link together. That doesn't mean that we're fishing together.
But we're basically vouching for each other.
We're confirming each other.
Sure.
So I'm bringing you in, you're bringing me in to even the field.
Okay.
So you can link with someone in the BFL and that guarantees you in.
So how does that differ from a Toyota series then?
Toyota series, they're only going to let in however many boats that they've got co-anglers. There isn't boat on boat draws. So if there's 150 boats and 175 co-anglers, there's 25 co-anglers not fishing. If there's 150 boats and there's only 130 co-anglers, then there's 20 boaters that aren't going to fish.
Got it. So it's whatever the cut line is for either side.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
Speaking of co-anglers, I saw something at the All-American. I think we'll save it for another podcast because it's the first time I've ever seen it. And it was the first time a lot of people have ever seen it.
Well, now I'm,
but the co-angler did get top 10. So I would stay tuned for the third episode. But I'll tell you about that.
I'm curious because I didn't even see it, I guess.
I haven't told anybody yet.
Ooh, now I'm.
And I don't think they got a picture of it.
A co-angler?
A co-angler. Got
top 10.
With like some sort of magic.
With a certain device that he was using on the back of the boat, and that's all I'll tell you.
I wonder what it could be.
Ooh, now I'm excited. Man, yeah, that's awesome. So other than the fun experiences that you had, you essentially, I'll put it in your words if you want me to reiterate them, you essentially fished for free.
Yeah.
At the All-American.
Yeah.
So good event, bad event. Give me a 1 out of 10 event for you.
10 out of 10.
Is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, the experience was awesome.
Yeah.
If you finished last, it's still a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, the experience, just being there was really cool. I did, like I said, the only thing that disappoints me is I just don't think it gave everybody the opportunity to prove their true ability. Like for the end of the year championship, I just don't think it was a very good place to have it.
So that wasn't your preference to be there. And I think that was the case for a lot of guys.
I mean, you know, and you never know till you get there, but when you practice for 2 days and you get 4 bites in 2 days and there's only 50 guys fishing and you talk to 10 and they've talked to 10 and well, there's half.
Yeah.
And they're all saying the same thing. So
it definitely seemed that way whenever I was watching the weigh-in interviews, all of them were like, yeah, just, you know, that's kind of how this lake goes. So
you know what though, in looking at it from another way, those are the easiest tournaments to win.
Yeah.
They really are. So you kind of have to look at it from multiple ways. I mean, it's hard to win, but it's also easier to win because everybody's struggling.
So yeah, much rather it take 12 pounds a day to win than 25 pounds a day.
Yeah. Sure.
I guess from a fishing aspect, it would have been more fun to be on, you know.
Well, from a logistical standpoint, like on those where you know it's going to take 10 pounds to be in the top 10, you just have to catch 5 fish, right? And just to be there, kind of, sort of, like you're not relying on getting a super heavy bag. Whereas like we're talking about Kentucky Lake where you need to have 20 pounds to be considered for the final round.
There's a lot of things that go into it, Don. And the one thing you have to think about too is, let's just take 2 days of fishing on Cherokee and say, if you catch 10 pounds, you are in it.
Right.
But if you catch 7 pounds or 6, you're not. But if you're on Kentucky Lake and you take those numbers and say you catch 20 pounds, you're in it.
Yeah.
But also if you only catch 13 pounds, you're still in it. Because you can catch 20, 30 pounds on Kentucky Lake. There's no coming back on a lake like that.
No.
Is the problem. And that's what makes it tough.
So where would you have preferred it to be? Like, you don't have to give a specific lake, but give me where you might have preferred it to be.
Kentucky Lake?
Well, right. But if you're seeing a true showing of and a true outing of like everyone's abilities,
where nobody has information from prior tournaments,
it's random to everybody.
Somewhere west or north, maybe like in the Mississippi River, or somewhere with just a lot of fish that, or I don't know, man, just somewhere that has a lot of fish where everybody's not out there doing the same thing. I mean,
yeah. So this past week, if the All-American would have been on Kentucky Lake, though, I think it would have been really cool to see.
Yeah.
Because of what happened this past week with the fluctuating water levels. Mm-hmm. Water came back up, spread a lot of fish out, and like you could have seen guys doing different things. And like that's exactly what you're saying is like you could have seen different people with different strengths do different stuff.
Right.
You know? So, and that's the cool thing about Kentucky Lake, again, is you can do it all here.
That's it. Yeah. You like, do what you want to do.
You go up north and like every smallmouth tournament's the same. They all throw a drop shot.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. Like, yeah, you just caught 20 pounds of smallmouth. That's cool. But, and like, it's still fun when you're doing it, but it's just,
yeah.
Everybody does the same thing.
Sure.
Here you can do it a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
So Kentucky Lake, I think, would be a great place to have the All-American once again.
Well, and it just seems like, because I know we kind of touched base on this last week where, a lot of people have been counting out Kentucky Lake for the last few years, if not the last decade or so. But I mean, you know, we, especially you guys, but I converse with a lot of people in here that just go out and fish for fun and also do the tournaments. And it seems like they love this lake.
I got news for you boys. It's better than Pickwick, Chickamauga.
Yeah.
I'd put it up there with Gunnersville at certain times. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely better. It's the best TVA tournament lake. Honestly, maybe the best tournament lake in the country.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
because it's so 100 big. Miles long. You can, dude, you can fit. If you run to New Johnsonville, you're not even. You're
that's 60, the halfway point,
right? I mean, it's just unlimited.
Yeah. Run down to,
and that's just one lake. You can go through the canal and do it again on another lake.
Right. I mean, you can run down to not Martin, but where's that in Tennessee? Like right at the Tennessee line.
Paris.
Yeah. You can run down all the way to Paris and fish that.
Where he's talking about New Johnsonville is another, 20 miles, 25 miles past that.
Yeah. And I say Gunnersville, it's hard to really, Gunnersville's all grass. We don't have grass. So you're kind of comparing apples to oranges, but like,
right.
You look at the weights out here, they're consistent. I mean,
yeah,
20, if you don't have 20, you may as well throw them back. Like, you and that's get, all year long.
Like going back to the results of whenever the, not the Invitational, but whenever the Toyota Series was here.
Yeah.
Going back and seeing those weights, like I think like the day one leader had like 26 or 27 pounds, which is awesome, right?
Yeah.
Or is that right?
Yeah, he had, I think it was 27. Yeah.
It was up there.
I didn't think he had that much.
Was it not? It was 20 something.
He had a big bag on the first day.
But it was cool to see because it's, I mean, it just seems like it, like you said earlier, just astronomical numbers, and we're spoiled by this lake here.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people complain about, oh, it's just filled with Asian carp and, you know, them taking over the lake. There's no good fishing here. Just from an outside perspective, again, I have to disagree.
Well, I mean, it's not a coincidence, man, that the lake was good in 2010 to 17 and we had shad. And from 18 to 21, we had no shad. Mm-hmm. And now we've got shad again. And what do you know? The lake's back in business. Like, we just had no bait. They didn't have anything to eat.
And there's a lot of different factors, too, and a lot of different myths and a lot of different theories on everything. And I mean, it's unbelievable how much stuff has been said over the last few years.
And nobody really knows. I mean, there's some things that you can put facts to, but nobody knows, man, if they sprayed the grass or if they, I mean, I got somebody that says, he says he swears they put carp in the lake. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
I don't think so. Like,
well, there's the rumors of helicopters flying at night over top of the grass mats, dropping pellets in the grass mats to kill the grass. And
well, and the carp have been in here. Ryan and I went out when I first got to Murray. It was like 2016 or 17. There was carp everywhere. You just didn't pay attention to them because there was fish to catch.
There's been carp for a long time here. I mean, I remember in college, you go over there on Barkley. This is before anyone started talking about carp, and you can go back in some of them creeks and stuff you idle back there and they just start jumping everywhere. And that was, like I said, way before anyone started talking about them. I mean, they've been in here a long, long time.
Yeah.
But so we'll kind of give you a teaser here. We are going to have a guest coming up soon in an episode here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to get Adam Martin in here from Kentucky Fish and Wildlife to kind of go over some of the findings that they have and kind of debunk several of the myths that there are out there. When I was talking to him about coming on the show, I was like, we just want to talk about, Asian carp. And, I said, all of our customers find out that we're from Kentucky Lake and they say, oh, well, how's the Asian carp? And he said, yeah, I get that a lot too. and like, we don't even pay attention to the carp anymore.
Nope.
Like it isn't that big of a deal, but
when out of towners ask, I say, they're terrible. You don't want to come here.
Yeah. It's like selfishly, you don't want anyone to come here.
Yeah.
Like keep thinking about the carp, but.
And then they see the results and they're like, that guy lied to me.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
The thing about around here is like this area survives on the lakes and without the tourism and without people coming here to fish, this area really struggles. And that's the biggest thing is like people need to be educated on the matter because the media, whether you want to believe it or not, lies to you. And all these rumors and stuff about Kentucky Lake, like so many of them just aren't true. Mm-hmm. And that's where, I feel an obligation to educate on more of the stuff that you can put facts behind. I'll tell you, I feel like here in the last few weeks, I feel like I've seen 10 times the amount of white bass that I have Asian carp. Mm-hmm. Them things are freaking everywhere. You graph over any spot anywhere on this lake and there's white bass. But
I got to tell you, man, with me starting to fish now, I just wish there was a way for me to get out on the lake and learn how to fish and stuff.
If only you knew somebody that had like boats and stuff.
Well, it'd be great if I knew people and, they were willing to send out invites or anything like that. But, could
try posting something on Facebook, like Marketplace or something, like in search of friend to take me fishing on the lake.
Like a Craigslist listing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In search of fishing buddy.
Yeah. Be careful though.
Probably don't need that. But yeah, I would like to, because right now the only thing that I've fished is I have a quote unquote trout pond that's full of bass and
doesn't sound like it's that full.
It's not that full. I'm sure it's very full. I'm just fishing it wrong. But whenever I first started over the Memorial weekend, I went down to Fort Massac, which is, I live in Metropolis. So, went over to Fort Massac and just threw some stuff out into the river. And I probably spent about 2.5 hours out there. And I was like, man, I have not caught a single thing. And immediately the Tuesday after Memorial Day, I talked to Joe and was like, yeah, was that a waste of time? I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, duh. Nothing's going to bite in the river.
These were not caught in the Ohio River, I'm sure, But there was a tournament out of the Ohio River, out of Paducah this past weekend, a USA Bassin tournament. And, you know, they can go down the Tennessee towards Kentucky Lake, or they can go down the Cumberland towards Barkley Dam as well. But it took like over 21 pounds to win.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you fish it?
No.
Did you? No.
No.
Don't you guys fish it?
No.
Usually?
I don't fish on the river.
Oh, that's
right. I'd like to,
but we're sponsored with them. Yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. Ryan?
Yes.
Anything else?
Got a Camus boat for sale.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan, you want to talk about that real quick?
2023. Gray and black. Two Lowrance units. Lowrance trolling motor.
Power good looking boat.
Loaded. It looks great. We just posted some good pics that Don took. So
it's a good looking boat.
Get a hold of our socials, or just if you know me or Ryan or anybody here directly, just let us know. If you have any interest, we'll show it to you. So,
did we promo the boat last episode? I'm just thinking about it.
We did at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we actually do have a listing.
A new updated listing with what's on it. So
do we want to say how much we're selling it for or no?
$79,900.
And it's
you'll be first owner of the boat. So it's a demo.
Fully loaded.
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 Ready to hit the water. Brand new lower unit. 0 hours on it. Never been cranked. Check it out.
All right, guys, that is a wrap on another episode. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Send us a DM if you want to hear a specific topic or even a guest. Give us some feedback. Once again, we appreciate you for listening.